Welcome to Front Page Jerusalem, a weekly news digest covering events in Israel. It's relevant and accurate information you need to know, direct from the Holy Land. You're listening to Front Page Jerusalem.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Front Page Jerusalem, the voice of Israel to the world, brought to you by Christian Friends of Israel in the city of the great king, Jerusalem. I'm Earl Cox.
I'm Ben Kinchlow.
And I'm Kevin Howard in Jerusalem.
Many of us may understand the challenges of moving to a new city or even a new region of our country and the loneliness and struggles that can arise. It's a different picture, however, when moving to another country, even if the country is filled with other immigrants as well. Israel is a land of immigrants coming to their ancestral homeland. And while getting there as new Olim is one thing, staying the course to remain can be an entirely additional set of challenges.
Well, that is true, Earl. And sometimes the hardest thing to find with that kind of move is a support network and friends you can call on like family. Yet for many, whether immigrants or not, just having caring people around is among the most valuable asset, not just for acclimating, but for regular support, encouragement, and sometimes just feeling you fit in and belong. While God is calling his people home, there are still a lot of adjustments once they arrive.
Well, in Israel, some former immigrants recognized the areas of need and are actively working to create a type of network so that those immigrating today will face less extreme challenges than they did when they made their journey. Heading up one such initiative is Limey Lawrence, and Kevin Howard recently spoke to him about those challenges. We'll bring you that interview in just a moment. But first, let's hear from the CFI Jerusalem News Desk, where David Milburn has the recent headlines from Israel. David?
Thanks, Earl. God sent blessed rains down upon the Golan, filling the Sea of Galilee with much-needed 6 inches of water. More intermittent rains are expected to fall, and the level will continue to rise as snow on Mount Hermon melts. Almost 40 inches of rain have fallen so far this winter, well over the average of 28 inches. During the summer, the Sea of Galilee evaporates at the rate of nearly half an inch per day, meaning it will again drop below the lower red line. Israel has been suffering from a 5-year drought, and 2018 was one of the driest in the past 100 years. The precipitation has brought some unusual consequences. A flash flood earlier this winter brought the words of the prophet Isaiah to life. I will open up streams on the bare hills and fountains amid the valleys. I will turn the desert into ponds, the arid land into springs of water. Now, before we return to Earl, here's today's This Page in History.
On April 14, 73 AD, according to Jewish historian Josephus, 967 Jewish zealots committed suicide within the fortress of Masada on this last night before the walls were breached by the attacking Roman 10th Legion. 2 women and 5 children survived by hiding in a cistern and were later released unharmed by the Romans. The Romans decided to put an end to the last pocket of resistance, the freedom fighters of Masada. For 3 years, zealots had managed to keep the Romans off the mountain. Now, however, nearly 10,000 troops tried starving the Jewish rebels. When that didn't work, they utilized every conceivable kind of contemporary siege weapon in an effort to break through the seemingly impregnable fortress. Finally, they breached the wall. When it became clear that the end was near, zealot leader Eleazar ben Yair called his people together and reminded them that they had long ago resolved to serve God only and not the Romans or any other master. He called upon them to die as free men and women rather than face capture and slavery by the pagan conquerors. Masada was declared a United Nations World Heritage Site in 2001.
Welcome back, everybody. While many around the world work at helping the Jewish people return home, it's also the community that makes any country or place into a home. And building the community, or at the least finding it, can be a prohibitive activity for those already struggling to adjust to a new land. Kevin Howard recently found out more.
Thanks, Earl. We are indeed speaking with Liami Lawrence today of Keep Olim. He's in the studio with us. Liami, thank you for being our guest on the program today.
Thank you for having me.
Liami, to start things off, tell us a bit about your background and and why you began Keep Olim.
Sure. So I am American. I moved to Israel 3 years ago from La La Land, Los Angeles. My background before, I'd produced events and did PR. I was the director of media for the Israeli consulate in Los Angeles. There I worked with a lot of the Christian organizations. And I've been in Israel 3 years. I live in Tel Aviv. I made Aliyah, and after 9 months of living here, I had no job. I was starving. I had no prospects for a job. So I went on Facebook, and sometimes God works through you because I'm still here because he upstairs decided that I'm supposed to be here. My name is Liami, which means my people and my nation belong to me. So I think he chose me to be here. So I went on Facebook, I started a group, and I complained about Aliyah. And I said, they dropped us off like a hot potato. They all brought us here, but ain't none of us got jobs, and all my friends are leaving. In 5 days, 3,000 people joined this group. And it was raw. People were angry and upset in every language. Olim from all over the country, different, so many things. So we said, why don't we stop being negative and empower ourselves, because people need to help themselves. So I got Olim. I said, Olim, let's empower ourselves. And I called them Olims. I said, Olims, let's empower ourselves. And that's what happened. And 2 weeks later, my partner in the Amuta, in the nonprofit, Svika Griver, who's a lawyer, came to me and said, why don't we make a nonprofit? And that's what happened. In the meantime, the media got hold of it, and it just took off. The nonprofit has been in existence for over 2 years, and we do advocacy programs and services for all Olim. We have Olim from 100 different countries. Olim are immigrants to Israel, for your audience. And we have people from all over the country. 25% of the immigrants are from Russia, Ukraine, lots of Americans, South Africans, English. We even have a few thousand Indians from the Bnei Menashe, which is a beautiful story in itself because they're coming home. They're part of the Bnei Menashe tribe, and you're just witnessing the Bible come to life. So we are doing all these programs just to keep immigrants in the country, because sadly, so many immigrants leave. You know, so much money spent bringing people over here. There's like 30,000 people making Aliyah, moving to Israel, going up. Aliyah means going up, ascending to Israel. But the sad truth is so many leave. And if we just gave a little more effort to programs and services to keep these people here, whether it's mental health, whether it's jobs, whether it's financing, whether it's Hebrew language, because you move to a new country, it's really hard to speak the language. And I'm not knocking my American friends. We got the hardest time learning another language. I don't know. It's just something, well, they should learn English. No, we're in Israel. We should be speaking Hebrew. You know, we should hablo Hebrew. So basically, these are things that we need to overcome as immigrants, you know. And also, what's universal about immigrants, because, you know, for the American audience, is most of your grandparents moved to America. They all left family and friends behind. So when we move to Israel, we leave family and friends behind. So it's very hard sometimes to be by yourself. You feel loneliness. You know, we have a program called No Olet Alone, which means that no immigrant will be by themselves, sitting at a home, dreaming of a white Christmas, calling, looking on TV and watching friends, okay? We put them at a Seder table. We match them up according to their interest and their language and their age. So you make friends with a warm family. So next holiday, those same people will invite you over. And God willing, in a couple years, you can invite them when you get settled here. So that's one of the things that we do.
So prior to your own Aliyah journey, when did you first visit Israel?
So when I was 17, I went to Israel for the first time for the summer on a youth program as a graduation from high school present. I fell in love with it, so I said, I'm going to the overseas program at Tel Aviv University. So I did that many years ago. Don't look at me like it was yesterday. Many, 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 many years ago. And then I was like, this is where I want to live. So I lived here as a tourist in the late 80s. And then when I turned 50, I said, it's now or never. God said, get your tuchus to Israel. So I got up on a plane. I filled out the form. I'll tell you a true story. I was sitting in City Hall in Los Angeles interviewing for a job to be a right-hand man of one of the councilmen. And the job was mine, assured, okay? And they asked me one question. Liami, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And I looked up at the ceiling, at the beautiful ceiling at City Hall in Los Angeles. And I said, the beach in to myself, I'm like, the beach in Tel Aviv, I don't want to be here. That was my Aliyah moment. I finished the interview. I went home. I went, downloaded the forms from Nefesh B'Nefesh. I filled out the forms for Aliyah. 2 months later, I came here on a pilot trip just to make sure, look for an apartment, la, la, la. And here I am. Miracle, right?
So in working with Olim, do you feel they're a bit naive about some of the conditions of coming to Israel?
Yeah, a lot of new arrivals, especially I'm talking the immigrants from Western Europe, America, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, all these countries. The problem is, again, service, what you had before. This is a different country. It's a different culture. We're here as immigrants. We want to be Israeli. I have a Israeli ID card. I have Israeli passport. So we have to be Israeli. We have to learn the language, learn the cultures, learn the jargon and everything like that. And, you know, like, I'm proud to be Israeli. I'm proud to be American. I have dual citizenship. I see the American flag. I'm always going to be American, but I'm Israeli too. That's the thing. You know, we have like, when we move here from a different country, we have our old country and their background from whatever country we came from. And then we have the Israeli country as well. The Israeli holidays, Independence Day is coming up, you know. And the difference between America's Independence Day and Israel's, let's talk about that for a second. Because the day before Independence Day, we have Yom Zikaron, which is the day of remembrance. And sirens blare all across the country for 2 minutes, twice, once at night, once in the morning. The whole country stands still. Nobody moves. Cars, people get out of the cars. Literally, you could hear a pin drop except for the sirens. Okay? That's so moving. And what do we do in America? We go to a sale. You know, it's very, very different. On Memorial Day, we have Memorial Day sale, right? And, you know, but like after the sirens come happy time, and that's called Yom Ha'atzma'ut, Independence Day, and that's when the whole country goes crazy. People party all night long, people dancing, people singing, people going to programs and just being together. It's a very special part of Israel. So I hope your listeners, if you're booking tickets to the Holy Land, that's the time to book it. Because I want you all to visit the Holy Land. This is our country. I want to share it with you.
Well, we cannot forget about the challenges facing new immigrants to Israel, as we must remember to pray for peace in their hearts as they adjust, and also for peace around them throughout the land of Israel itself. But right now, we need to take a short break so that you can hear about a special outreach project of Christian Friends of Israel that's making a real difference for some very special people in the land of Israel today.
Your legacy is that of overcomers. Your grandparents were airlifted out of persecution and continual struggle in Ethiopia. Your parents labored to merge and blend into a new culture and way of life. Now you, the third generation in Israel, still cling to the hope and promise your family embraced. Sometimes you look around and there seems to be no way out of the financial hardships and the lingering cultural differences. the gleams of encouragement are few and often far between, with seemingly little hope ahead of you. One day you hear about an event, an educational opportunity for young adults and others in your community, being sponsored by Christian Friends of Israel and their project, Hope for the Future. When you came to the event, a fresh gleam of hope arises, and with it a renewed determination to succeed and thrive here, in the land of Israel, a land of hope that your parents and grandparents struggled in, now has a future of promise with the partnership of new friends here in Israel.
Christian Friends of Israel's project, Hope for the Future. Just one more way we're making a difference in Israel, one life at a time.
Welcome back, everybody, to our continuing discussion between Front Page Jerusalem's Kevin Howard and Limie Lawrence as they discuss more of what helps new Olim in Israel find community, support, and family so they can remain planted in the place to which they have returned.
So, besides learning Hebrew, what are the other obstacles facing Olim based on their journey?
Hebrew is an official language of Israel. And if you don't know Hebrew, it's very hard. I'll give you an example. I came here, I was 50 years old. Now, I'm sitting in a little chair in school trying to learn Hebrew. And, you know, you have your worries while you're learning. You're learning, trying to find a job, trying to find an apartment, trying to deal with your finances. It's very hard because everything, when you come to a new country, it's so different. Like, what we have in America is a blessing, okay? This service, somebody does not, you don't, someone doesn't do you right at the bank, you could complain. Here, it don't work that way. So it's just very different. It's called getting used to a new culture. You're experiencing the Israeli culture. In Israel, everything's very different. With service, it's more laid back, more vocal. You have to yell sometimes to get what you need. And then after you yell at somebody, they're going to invite you to dinner at their house for Shabbat. It's just a very different type of country.
So do you have any suggestion for visitors to Israel on how they might encourage those who've made Aliyah in recent years?
Well, you know what I'm thinking off the top of my head? I think we should make a program for your people that come here, and they could meet some of the Olim. And we could do some type of program, because I think it's going to be very helpful, because, you know, everybody has a dream that they want to go to Israel. You have Christians, 60 million Christians in America, evangelical Christians, that want to come to the Holy Land. And very few of them actually make it a reality. So they need to understand what makes us tick here. So I think it will be very good for your listeners to actually come meet a few of us Olim. And I'll be more than happy to provide some Olim for you so you could go see sights and see it through not only your eyes of the tourist eyes, but also from the Olim's eyes as well.
Finally, Liami, what's your message on your heart that you're sharing with international listeners these days?
So one of the things we do is advocacy for Olim, okay? We help change the driving license law, which means that now immigrants, if they drove for 5 years in whatever country you come from, you could get your license automatically converted. Before, it was a nightmare. You had to take tests, and you failed the test. Everybody failed because that was the money system. That was the thing. So we went up, we showed them that it was a failing system. So the minister Katz changed the law, and thank God for that. And then we have a lobby in the Knesset, and it's a lobby not like in America where everyone lobbies for their issues. We have a non-political lobby with all different political parties helping the Olim. So what are our concerns? The Olim have very little mental health care, because in Israel we have socialized medicine. and you're allowed by socialized medicine to get 15 visits to a therapist. However, said therapist does not speak English, Spanish, Portuguese, French, Russian, German, and if you don't know Hebrew, it ain't going to be very pleasant sitting there when you're all depressed. So we are creating our own programs. First, three parts. Number one is a support group, okay? We'll have different support groups all across the country. They start in 2 months. Second is a hotline, because there is no hotline for Aleem to call in their native languages, especially when they're suicidal. And the third is subsidized low-cost individual mental health program, because we want to keep healthy Aleem here, and we want Aleem to be healthy, not depressed. And sadly, one-third of all suicides in Israel are Aleem, and we've had 8 in my group in 2 years, because people don't know who to reach, people don't know who to talk to, and, you know, we're there for them. Like, that's, when you're down, what do? You call your pastor, you call your church. These Aleem have nobody here to talk to. They don't have a pastor, they don't have a rabbi, they don't have anybody, they just moved here. So we are doing that. Another thing that we do is we give free legal aid to Aleem in the first year. Like, you sign contracts in Hebrew for jobs, for apartments. You don't know what you're signing. You don't know what you're signing, so we have lawyers read the contracts so you don't get screwed over. That's like a key thing. We have Bikur Cholim. This is a beautiful program I'm sure your listeners are going to love. We have 250 volunteers all across Israel that visit sick Olim. They go to hospitals. They take them to doctors. They cook and clean for them after they come out of the hospital so they're not by themselves. We have 250 beautiful volunteers from everywhere. You know, the beautiful thing of our group is we have 40,000 Olim from 100 different countries and all different backgrounds. So we have 40% religious and ultra-religious. We have the secular. We have the in-between. We have people with no religion. Everybody is together. And that's the beautiful thing, because on Facebook, you could use Google Translate. So this way, everybody understands each other. In Israel, we say we're all family here. When your people go on the tour, you're going to see that the whole country is one. When they stand at attention for the two-minute siren, you're just going to see the whole country is one. We're one people. We love the Christian partnership with us, because partnering with us makes the Bible a reality. It comes to life. You're witnessing the rebirth of the Jewish people. They're returning from the four corners of the world to Israel, just like it says in the Bible. This is coming to life. What we want to do is keep these Olim, keep these immigrants in Israel. It's very simple. And it's not just providing more services and more programs to get them over the hump, the troubles.
Liami Lawrence of Keep Olim, thank you for being our guest today on Front Page Jerusalem.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. And to all your listeners, come visit us in the Holy Land. We welcome you. Shalom.
Well, thank you, Kevin, for that insightful discussion on the challenges surrounding the Jewish people's return to their ancestral homeland of Israel. Well, our time is almost up for this week, and coming up, we'll hear from David Nekrutman with this week's Bible on the Go. But first, another visit to the CFIJ News Desk and David Milberg.
Thanks, Ben. The Hillel Academy, a Jewish day school, champions a project-based approach to learning. This year, the Dayton, Ohio school has made indoor farmers of its 5th and 6th grade students. With help from a registered nutritionist and now from a hydroponic farming educational initiative in Israel, the Dayton, Ohio students began growing and harvesting microgreen crops in January. Microgreens are an edible herb and vegetable seedlings. Microgreens have up to 40 times more vital nutrients than mature plants. It's crazy how this tiny little plant has so many nutrients, says fifth grader Avi Gilbert, as he harvests a crop of radish microgreens. With funding from Hillel families and alumni, a local farmer installed the school's microgreen system and showed faculty and students how to get started. Among the crops are arugula, kale, parsley, radish, mustard, and broccoli. Hillel is the first school outside of the Jewish state affiliated with Israel's Startup Roots program. Now, before we return to Earl and Ben, here's David Nekrutman with this week's Bible on the Go.
I often have the honor of having pastors at my Sabbath table on Friday evening. And in Jewish tradition, we have a ritual where we lay our hands on our kids and we bless them with Genesis 48:20, "May God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh," followed by the priestly blessing from Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. And a pastor once asked me, he said, "I don't understand why you put Jacob's blessing before God's blessing." So that's an excellent question. In fact, you're right. God actually mandated that you should be blessing this blessing, and Jacob just did this on the fly. But I think the answer is that Ephraim and Manasseh are the first two biblical brothers that get along with one another. Cain and Abel, it didn't work out well for them, and Jacob and Esau and Isaac and Ishmael. Now we have Ephraim and Manasseh that are one unit in the family life. But more importantly, they are born in Egyptian culture. They are saturated with pagan influences, yet they still retain their faith in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I said, this is probably the reason why we say the bliss blessing before the priestly blessing, because we want to give over to our kids that no matter what, we stand with God. No matter what temptations are out there, no matter what secular influences are there to pull away from that faith, we affirm that we're standing with God. And by that affirmation, then we can get the blessings from the priestly blessing about covenant and revelation about His word and all the material blessings associated with the priestly blessing. This is David Nekrutman with Bible on the Go.
Thanks, David. Well, that's our show for today, and we hope that you've enjoyed the program, everybody. Thanks for joining us, and please don't forget to support this station, because this station supports Israel.
And before we go, we want to remind you to please pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And let me invite you to join us on this station again right here next week as we bring you all the latest from Israel and the Middle East.
So for now, on behalf of the entire staff of Front Page Jerusalem, I'm Earl Cox, reminding you that because God loves Israel, I do too.
You've been listening to Front Page Jerusalem. For more information, go to frontpagejerusalem.com. Front Page Jerusalem is brought to you by Christian Friends of Israel Jerusalem, making a difference in Israel one life at a time. Front Page Jerusalem is a production of Level E Media Incorporated.